You're listening to WMIE, Coco, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Coco Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
You're listening to the latest edition of Truth That Transforms with Pastor Bo DeFrana.
They're still talking that we also may be like all of the nations. Now, guys, come on. Let's get real. Let's think this through. This is down in our sinful nature. And we don't want to be different. We want to compromise. We want to look for ways to not have to be so bold for God. We want something, a substitute. We want to put something between us and this whole living for God out front thing. It's in our bent.
Just like the folks in Israel from the Old Testament, we often find ourselves resisting God's will while we choose the smoother route for ourselves. But is that really how God operates? In today's message, Pastor Bo encourages you to fully commit yourself to Jesus. There's nothing out there that can truly deliver the satisfaction you're seeking. But when you truly love God and dedicate your heart to serving Him, you'll find that incredible sense of heavenly peace and joy flowing over your life. Now here's Pastor Bo as he continues his message, The Israelites Ask for a King.
These people have a very strong self-will. And they're willing to be sinful imitators of the world around them. So we would call this worldliness. They're allowing worldliness to be how they also operate as a people. And they're willing to do something which is really major. This is sort of the major thing. Yes, they're saying it over and over again, we want to be like all the other nations, but here's a big one. They want to trust in a man rather than in their God. Now, I think that's good to talk about a little bit, right? Obviously, it's good to talk about for us as Christians. I spent a little time on this, but I know that there will be other dynamics that we would need to bring into play, and I don't have time for it. But just think about our nation. You could start thinking about that and the unbiblicalness, if I can make up a word, of trusting more in men than in God. Now, the pulpits in our country, the churches in our country have to get that straight first. We don't trust in man. We don't have our trust of our future in humanity. Our trust is in Yahweh, is in God, Jehovah God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God who sent his son, Jesus Christ, who is the Messiah. Our faith, our trust, our reliance is upon Christ, who has become now the rock, the cornerstone. So we're building our lives off of what he does and he said, what he says in his word. We're basing all of our living, all of our trust is in God. So that what that brings is a lot of comfort when there really is a total trust and reliance upon the sovereign God of the universe. It brings comfort to me, comfort to my soul, to my heart. I can rest in the Lord. But I just want to talk about this for a moment still in verse 20. Because that statement right there, and we want him to go out and fight our battles. And I just had you go back there and look in Joshua. I won't take the time now because the clock's moving fast on me, as usual. But another one we could look at is, do you remember when the sun stood still for Joshua in battle? It's in Joshua chapter 10. You could look at that. That'd be another one of those like, wow, kind of times where God showed himself to be Israel's warrior. And they don't want that anymore. They don't want God anymore to be the one that fights their battles. And so I just want us to still be sort of prayerful and reflective around the ideas that it's not just Israel that's like that. That's in me. That's in me. What, Bo? To find substitutes rather than simple, basic trust in God and in His Word. I gravitate toward a sub. I always took advantage of substitute teachers, did you? If a substitute teacher came in, I was launching spitballs. But I wouldn't dare do that to my primary English teacher. He would never, if I did that to him, I'd be suspended. But every time he had a substitute teacher come into my English class, me and this other student, Steve, I won't say his last name because we're on the radio now, we would take entire sheets of paper and make spitballs. Yeah, those are good ones. And smash the chalkboard when he wasn't looking, you know? You see that? A substitute? We crave that. It's in our sinful nature to take advantage like that. Why? Because the authentic one, the real one, the one who has the right to be there is the only one who really enables me to be who I ought to be in Him. He comes to me directly with the Word. He comes to me directly with what's good for me. And I don't want that. Secondly, I don't want to be holy. I want to do what I want. So, anyways, I just wanted to bring that up. How they specifically say to fight our battles. They want to replace God with a human king. That was their desire. And that is the primary way that Israel rejected God as their Lord. So the problem was not having a king, but it was the reason that the people wanted a king. They wanted to be like the other nations. And in doing that, they foolishly assumed that there would be some greater power in a king leading them in battle than in God Himself being the one leading them in battle. All right, back to verse 6 of 1 Samuel 8. It says, but the thing displeased Samuel. When he heard that, they said, give us a king to judge us. Notice what Samuel did. The first thing Samuel did, and I want to encourage you to underline this and be real with the application of it. Did he say, that makes me mad? You know, did he say, well, you know all I've done for you? He didn't talk like that, but it grieved him to hear what was in their hearts. So what did he do? He prayed to the Lord. I am only one pastor trying to teach the Bible to one congregation today, so I can't just scream and get on the roof and yell as loud as I can when I want to stress certain points, but this would be one of those points. Please bring your complaints and your upsettings to the Lord in prayer. Bring them to Him. Sit down with Him and tell Him what you really think, how you really feel. Psalm 55, verse 17 is a cross-reference for what I'm trying to say. Psalm 55, look at verse 17. Psalm 55, verse 17. Evening and morning and at noon, the psalmist says, I utter my complaint and moan, and He hears my voice. Everybody understand that together? That's very important when it comes to your daily prayer life and actually having personal security and validation and affirmation and all that, and having confidence and all these things. It first is going to start with you bringing those things that you hear that are not right, that you know that bother you, that aren't necessarily pleasing to God, and all of those things. And you could really spout off and give somebody a piece of your mind, or you could take it personal and you could go wallow and you could check out for the day from work because you got to go sit in this now. Just go give it to the Lord. Take some time in prayer and tell Him how you feel about it, what you really think. That's what Samuel did. And verse 7 says, the Lord said to Samuel. I like that. See, Samuel needed to reorient himself now to how God wanted to use him in this situation. All the way up to this point, Samuel's been a prophet. It's been pretty one way. God would tell Samuel what he would say. Samuel would go communicate that. And that's just, it worked like that. But what's going on for Samuel now as an older man, still as a prophet though, is he's got the people telling him something that is, according to his understanding, different than what God would want. And when he goes and talks to God about it, God tells him to do what the people are saying. Oh, that's a conundrum, right? If you're Samuel, that's an adjustment. But it's a new day. It is a new day in the progression of redemptive history for the nation of Israel. And Samuel does need to make some adjustments to how he's been doing things in order to effectively be used by God now. So I still continue to applaud Samuel because he is out of the equation, if you will. He's humble. He's willing to do what God says no matter what, himself not being in the way. So it goes on. The Lord says to Samuel, obey the voice of the people in all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me. It's not you, Samuel. It's not about you. It's about me and them at this point. And they've rejected me from being king over them. So verse 8 says, God sort of giving a little bit of a synopsis of how his relationship with Israel has gone through the years up to this point. He says, according to all the deeds that they have done, from the day I brought them up out of Egypt, even to this day, forsaking me and serving other gods, so they are also doing to you, Samuel. This might be new to you, Samuel. This is not new to me. I've been dealing with this with them from the beginning. So welcome to my world, right? Welcome to my what it's like dealing with them. You're just now really getting it front on in the face in your life at this point. Now then, he says one more time, obey their voice. Now here's the instruction for Samuel. Don't just obey their voice and do whatever they want. I still want you to stand. I still want you to make clear where my heart is at towards this whole situation. I'm going to allow this. I'm going to use this. This has been a part of their plan. They're part of the future. I've known that this was going to happen. But even in that, I want you, Samuel, to do something. You shall solemnly warn them. Warn them, Samuel, and show them, watch how the language flows here, the ways of the king. Because they're asking for a king, and they're going to get one. But they don't know fully the ways of royalty. They don't know the ways of monarchy. They haven't thought about it. They don't really know all the implications of a reigning dynasty. So Samuel, I want you to solemnly warn them, show them the ways of the king who shall reign over them. So here goes Samuel's warning against kings. So Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the people, right? They were reminded simply of witnessing, I think. Here Samuel is just going to witness. He's just going to tell people what he has heard God say and the things that God has done in his life. He's just going to tell that. So we can do that, very simple. I'm just picking that out there. So Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the people who were asking for a king from him. Verse 11, he said, watch how he describes the ways of a king. These will be the ways of the king who will reign over you. You can underline these next three words and trace them all the way through this paragraph. He will what? Take. Do you see that? He will take. Bible studies with Pastor Bo are more beneficial with the Bible in front of you. I'm just letting you know. Like staring at me all Sunday in our sermons, while I love that you're here, I just want to encourage you, if you really want to get the most out of it, it's going to be looking at the Bible as we learn together. He will take. He will take your sons, and he will appoint them to his chariots and to be his horsemen and to run before his chariots. That's what he's going to do with your sons. And verse 12 says he will appoint for himself commanders of thousands, commanders of fifties, and he's going to appoint some to plow his ground and to reap his harvest and to make his implements of war and the equipment for his chariots. Here it comes again. He will what? Take. Take what? Your daughters. He's going to take your girls to be perfumers and cooks and bakers. Verse 14, he will what? You get the idea, right? He will take the best of your fields, vineyards, olive orchards, if I can say that right, and give them to whose servants? Yeah, he'll give them to his servants. Verse 15, he will, yeah, he'll take the tenth of your grain. He'll take a tenth of your vineyards, and he'll give it to who? To his officers, and he'll give it to his servants. Verse 16, he will take. He'll take your male servants and your female servants and the best of your young men and your donkeys and put them to work. Verse 17, in case you missed it, he will take. He will take the tenth of your flocks. Now, they should have lit up over these next 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 words. They have Egypt in their past. And after Samuel just obeyed the Lord and solemnly warned them what it was going to be like, the ways of a king, and that's what they want, their desires. They want this king. And Samuel gives them what the ways of the king are like. He ends it by saying, and you shall be his. Whoa. You guys see that in your Bible? He is solemnly warning them, you get a king, even though he's going to be one of us and all that kind of stuff. Here's how royalty works. Here's how a monarchy works. You're going to be under his rulership. He is going to be able to take from you by way of drafting young men and women for his service, taxing the people's crops and flocks, appropriating the best of their animals and the best of their servants for his own use, and he's going to place restrictions or limitations on your personal freedom. How would you respond right there? No. Look at what happens. And in that day, in verse 18, he says, you'll cry out because of your king, whom you have chosen for yourselves. But the Lord will not answer you in that day. There's the warning, okay? Now, verse 19 says, but the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. And they said, no. But they didn't say no like someone else just said no down here. Like, I would say no to that. They said no to Samuel. But it goes on, there shall be a king over us. Do you see that? That's remarkable to me. They are demanding they get a king. Demanding it. And then in verse 20, they're still talking. That we also may be like all of the nations. Now guys, come on. Let's get real. Let's think this through. This is down in our sinful nature. And we don't want to be different. We want to compromise. We want to look for ways to not have to be so bold for God. We want something, a substitute. We want to put something between us and this whole living for God out front thing. It's in our bent. It's just in our sinful nature. It's not who you are in Christ. It's not who you are when you're as a born-again Christian. It's your sinful nature. It wants to do that. So just take it easy. Level this out. Why do I got to be so, really light in the world? Really salt? Can I just be bland? Can I just be kind of like everybody else? And if you're in the church, you are distinct. You are a holy nation unto God. A priesthood, according to Peter. That's who we are. Oh, man, no, we are not like everybody else in the world. We belong to God. We belong to God. And as God's children, we don't have an aversion to wisdom. Christ has become for us wisdom from God. As God's children, we do not have an aversion to holiness. Our sinful nature does, but no, really, in our spirit, born again, no, God said to Peter, be holy for I am holy. We pursue holiness. We pursue sanctification. We want the work of the Holy Spirit to be done in our lives, making us more like Jesus Christ over time. We yield to the Holy Spirit. We surrender to that work. So they say, we want to be like all the other nations, and that our king may judge us, and like we already studied, go out before us and fight our battles. When Samuel heard that in verse 21, he heard all the words of the people. Again, what did Samuel do? He repeated them in the ears of who? Of the Lord. Do you keep seeing this? As far as Samuel's obedience to how he worked during this very, I would think there's some tension here for Samuel. And he just keeps doing what God said toward them, and then he comes back to God with the things that they say. You don't see him lashing out at them, really saying, he doesn't do that. He just brings then what they're saying back to the Lord. That's a good way to operate, isn't it? Just say, okay, and I'm going to go talk to the Lord now about that. And here the Lord, in verse 22, said to Samuel, so he's hearing it again now, Samuel, obey their voice. But now very clear, the Lord says to him, make them a king. Samuel then said to the men of Israel, so now he has his assignment. He has his directions, right, from God. Orders from headquarters, right? So he comes out and he says to the men of Israel, basically go home. Go, every man to his city. And Samuel is going to set himself on a course to make Israel a king. Let's cheat, just real quick. I'm short on time, but look at 9. Look at chapter 9, verse 1. There was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, son of Zeror, son of Becheroth, son of Aphiah, a Benjamite. Notice this. Ah, good. Finally. Ah, it's going to make sense. A man of wealth. Ah, yeah. Yeah, get us a king. He needs to have a ton of money. Come from good stock. See, this is how the world thinks, right? A man of wealth. Oh, good. And he had a son. He had his son, and his son's name was Saul. What does it say in verse 2 Saul was like? He was what? What's the description of Saul in that verse? Oh, he's handsome. Oh, he's good. He's good looking. Oh, come from money. Good looking. Oh. Now see, if you have a checklist on what God ought to do, it's getting checked according to the world's way of doing things. Check, check, check. Let's just keep reading. Handsome man. And then it says, there was not a man among the people of Israel more handsome than he. Woo! Saul is GQ, man. Saul's on the front page of the magazine. You know what I mean? He's probably got a good chest on him, thighs, shoulders, head up there big, you know? I mean, look, wow, yeah. He needs to be the one who goes out and fights our battles. Yeah, I'm willing to come up underneath his authority. Saul represents all of the good things we might think. But the way this will transpire is that it's godless. It's good. It seems good. But it's not ultimately how their relationship was to work between Israel and God. There was not a man among the people of Israel more handsome than he. For his shoulders upward, he was taller than any of the people. And there you get that example. And it goes on from there.
We're glad you joined us for today's edition of Truth That Transforms with Pastor Bo DeFrena. This broadcast comes to you from Melbourne, Florida. But we'd love to connect with you wherever you are. These messages can be found on our website or via podcast. Our website is trinitychurchmlb.churchcenter.com. You can also get a hold of us through social media, Facebook or Instagram. There's much encouraging content for you to find through those avenues. If you go to our website, you'll find those icons at the bottom of the page. That's trinitychurchmlb.churchcenter.com. Much valuable information is there for you, including our phone number and email. But we'll give you that here as well. Our number is 321-676-8992. If you need to hear it again, that's 321-676-8992. Our email address is info@mytrinitychurch.life. We desire for each of our listeners to be walking in a way that expresses their devotion to God and that others would see that lived out. We're praying this ministry would be just one piece of that process as you go about your day. We're looking forward to connecting with you in the next edition with Pastor Bo. Until then, keep the things you've heard today close to your heart and mind, and recall them through the day and week. We hope today is a day that your witness will bless those around you. Thanks for listening, and come back for more. This has been Truth That Transforms.